Hey, Moving Forward listeners, I'm excited to announce that I will be teaching a summer session of my writing and self-publishing class through the Johns Hopkins Odyssey program that starts Saturday, June 15th, and will run for 6 weeks. In this course, I'll cover a step-by-step process to ideate, plan, and write your book so you can get it done and published. For course and registration information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The class is open to all, including nonfiction and fiction writers, with special discounts for Hopkins alum. However, space is limited, so enroll now and let's start moving forward this summer on June 15th. John Lim here. We're moving forward with episode 464. I hope everyone is having a great week, and we're in the first week of April. Spring is finally approaching us, and weather's still a little bit up and down, but starting slowly to get some nice warm sun, and daylight's getting longer, so that's all good stuff. Anyway, I hope all of you are doing well. Just as a reminder, my writing class is underway. The class is full. We just had our first session last week, and I've got my second class tonight as of the air of this episode. I'm actually recording it a little bit early, and it's going great. A wonderful group of students. For those of you who missed your chance to sign up and take the class, I do recommend check out my newsletter, The Weekly Quirk. It's free to subscribe. You could just head over to bemovingforward.com. You'll see a link at the top if you want to check out prior issues. I cover a lot of the writing tips, the basic foundation for writing your book in the newsletter, in addition to this podcast. So if you've been following the last couple of episodes, I'm doing what I would consider, say, a mini or truncated version of the course, covering a lot of the basic concepts that I think have contributed to my success as a writer, have allowed me to write several books, and to do so efficiently and effectively. For those of you who are in my class and listening to this, I really appreciate it. You're getting maybe a little bit of a sneak peek of where we're headed next, but I've got a mix of listeners. And speaking of which, if you're new to this podcast, I do recommend check out the trailer, episode 000. That gives you the background of Moving Forward, how to approach the podcast, because there are over 400 and now 464 episodes. And there are many different types of episodes, so you can create your own Moving Forward journey, whether you're interested in conversations, collections of episodes, such as what I'm doing now, talking about different subjects. If you want something a little bit more light and on the entertainment side, I've got movie reviews that I do during the summer. So there's a mix of different types of episodes, and you can create your own Moving Forward journey. All right, getting back to where we were picking up from last week, I want to expand a little bit more on the different types of writing tools. So I covered four different classifications. I talked about computers, which would include tablets, that the tried and true, what I call the Swiss Army knife of our lives. There are third-party writing hardware, so maybe akin or a cousin to computers. You've got dedicated devices that you can use for drafting that don't have all the bells and whistles of, say, your computer or your laptop or your tablet. Pen and paper, I talked about. I think pen and paper is a very powerful first draft tool because it allows you a lot of flexibility, and sometimes it can be easier to get into the zone. And then I briefly touched on voice, which I think is the most unorthodox writing tool, but can also be a very effective one to use, especially when it comes to your first draft. All right, let's talk a little bit about how you can strategically use each of these tool sets to your advantage. And I'm going to start with voice, because voice is the most unorthodox, and that's the one that can be a little bit out of the box. And some of you may not yet be able to visualize how would you use a voice recording for drafting a book. And really, the way I see it is you start with your outline, your smart outline. And we talked about that last week in terms of and the week before in terms of your organization based off of your ideation. From there, what I would do is based on my writing schedule, my 2 to 3 times a week, 15 to 20 minutes, I would use that time to record sections of chapters or chapters, depending on how long those chapters are. So I might record a particular chapter on a Tuesday and then continue that recording on Thursday and then finish that chapter on Saturday. So that's one way I might use it. And what I would do is I would create separate sound files per chapter. That way, by the time I've finished the first draft, I would have a number of different sound files. Each one will represent a chapter. You could even subdivide it further if you wanted to create separate files for subparts of chapters. That's entirely up to you. And then what you would want to do is you would want to have a way to translate that those sound files into a written format. And you can do so one of several ways. You can actually have it transcribed. There are professional services that will have your audio transcribed for you. There are many different services out there. I'll invite you to look up which ones might be a good fit. I will say one that a number of my former guests have pointed out is one called Rev. And I believe they charge a little bit over $1 per minute. Now, I've never personally used them, but the guests that I've had that have used them, mostly for things like podcast transcriptions and things like that, have spoken very highly about them. If you don't have the budget for that, there are many automated tools that can do that for you. Google, Microsoft Word, they all have a voice-to-text translator. So you may even want to try narrating your first draft using those tools so that you'll have a direct translation from your voice. Now, they're not 100% perfect, but if you want to be a little more efficient with your use of voice, that's kind of a direct way to do it. Especially if you don't want to take sound recordings and transcribe them, you could just use your computer or your interface as your transcriber as well as your recorder. The third way to do it, I think, is to listen back to those sound recordings and basically rewrite a second draft based off of the sound files. Now, what I don't recommend you do is that you manually transcribe them yourself, word for word. That's just going to be too tedious, but you can listen to them. And then from there, that might give you enough information and enough basis to actually write a more organized, polished second draft. So that's how I might use voice. All right, let's move on to computers. The Swiss Army knife. If you are going to use your computer, now I came up with a couple of suggestions, one of which is it may not be a bad idea to use a spare computer, maybe an older one you don't use for your daily life, for your writing. But apart from that, I think a good way to organize your first draft is to create folders, what I'll call smart folders, based off of your smart outline. So look at your outline and create folders for each chapter, part, section, one for, say, introduction and conclusion, or prologue and epilogue if you're doing a novel. And that way you have separate documents. And so where I'm going with this is that rather than try to write your book in one gigantic document, write pieces of that book, or chapters, or parts of chapters, using separate folders and documents to keep them organized. And the nice thing about this is that this works really well with your color-coded outline, so that if you're writing on a particular day, maybe you're in a good mood, you don't have a lot going on, you're able to get into the zone or writing flow, you would choose, say, a red section or a red chapter because you have the energy to tackle that. So you would go to that folder and that document. If it's a particularly difficult day and you're having trouble getting in the zone or into a writing flow, you might choose a green section. And so with a folder system, you're able to jump around and write your book out of sequence. Because as I talked about, writing a book can sometimes be like if you're, you know, going back to my acting days, sometimes a production will film sequences or scenes out of order. Now, as a viewer or watcher, you'll read them in order, but as the creator, you're creating them based off of which is most efficient, based off of your time and resources. You can approach your book the same way. So I recommend smart folders are a great way to do that, separate documents. Also makes it less intimidating when you know you're working on a particular section that day. All right, for pen and paper, I think this works really well. You could use separate notebooks. You could use a binder with different tabs. That's a way to replicate, say, a separate document system for your book. And this all goes to your first draft and looking with an eye towards your second draft. Similarly, and I'll say this on pen and paper, if you are going to use pen and paper, you're going to eventually need to transcribe or translate that into an electronic form. So for your second draft, you can basically read through your handwritten version and then retype that if you want. I don't recommend a direct transcription. If you're going to your second draft, obviously you're going to reword things. You're going to look at things a little bit differently. Or you could outsource it if you need to. Outsource a direct transcription of your written work. Or you could actually combine voice with pen and paper. This might be a time where you would read out your handwritten work, say into Google Translate or Google Speech to Text or something like that, and then have it type out for you. So there are many ways you could even combine pen and paper, say with voice. I haven't mentioned a lot about third-party writing devices, say the Neo or the FreeWrite. Those are specifically designed so that you have separate folders, separate files that you can move around. And because, say, the FreeWrite is backed up to the cloud, it's very, very easy to get that onto your computer. In the case of the Neo, which is what I have, you would take your USB cable, plug it into your computer, and have it retype out whatever it is you typed out on your Neo onto, say, Microsoft Word or Google Docs. So that's basically it in a nutshell. So really what we're doing now is we're taking our devices and applying the smart outline and using those devices or writing tools strategically. All right, when we get back from the break, we're going to take a quick break right now. When we get back, I'm going to talk about drafting.
Hey, Moving Forward listeners, here's today's Poshmark power tip. Get free shipping supplies, including boxes, from your local post office, or order online and have them delivered to you from store.usps.com. You can also reuse empty boxes, just be sure to cover up old labels and barcodes. For more Poshmark seller tips, check out the Poshmark Guide for Individuals and Small Businesses, which is available on Amazon in paperback, Kindle, and as an audiobook on Audible and Apple Audiobooks. Start learning and moving forward today.
All right, continuing on, we're on episode 464, and in the first half of the episode, we talked about smart ways to use your writing tools. Let's get into actual drafting itself. Now, one of the advantages, I think, of, say, using voice or pen and paper is that both are uniquely designed, if you will, or by nature, set up to do what we're going to talk about now, which is what I call the sloppy first draft. Now, one of the biggest inhibitors to getting your first draft done, and this is something that I struggled with in the past and I know other authors have, is trying to edit while you write. Editing has become so second nature as we're writing. Think about if you're drafting an email and you see a typo, what are you going to do? You're immediately going to correct it. If you see something that's a little off, you're going to correct it right away. And for short form pieces like an email, that's efficient because as we're drafting, as we're writing, the side of our brain that catches errors, typos, grammatical errors kicks in, and we can immediately correct those. And that's a habit that many of us have had ingrained into us. And it's actually an efficient way to go about short form pieces. The problem is when you get to a longer form piece like a book, that habit becomes more of an inhibitor to your progress in several different ways. Number one, it significantly slows down your progress. If you are spending time and energy editing as you write, you're not getting a lot done and you are spending the energy that should be better served for the creative output. Secondly, editing while you write your first draft locks you in. Your first draft is not meant to be polished, pristine, or publishable. Those are the three P's. Or actually, I'll add a fourth, public. Your first draft is really about you getting the ideas out. we have our outline, we have the ideation, and now we're going to use our voice, whether it's our literal voice or our voice through our keys and words, to basically take the ideas and give expression to them. Build structure, sentence, find the right words. Your first draft is your first crack at this. It's not meant to be the final version. So you're just getting the ideas out, getting a feel for them. And what you want to do is you want to be uninhibited in how you express those ideas. It's one of the reasons why I think voice and pen and paper are so uniquely suited for this, because you really can't do a lot of editing. When you talk, even spitballing ideas, you're not going to be the most articulate always in doing so when you're talking out a first draft, because you're still trying to find the right words. Similarly with pen and paper, once you have it down on pen and paper, it's really hard to edit. Sure, you could maybe cross it out or erase it if you're using a pencil or erasable pen, but for the most part, you're just going to keep going on. With computers, as I talked about a little bit last week, the keyboards are so ergonomically and efficiently designed, and our word processing programs are so good at picking up errors and typos, we see those little red squiggly lines, that it's almost pulling us back to correct those errors. It's really hard not to go and correct an error. In fact, it may psychologically make you feel like you're getting something done by cleaning up an error. Also, if you write something out and it's not exactly articulating what you want, we're sometimes pulled by the lore of reshaping that and redrafting that and trying to get it perfect. And again, the two problems with this is, number one, we're not yet at the stage where we're ready to polish something. We're just trying to get the ideas out. And number two, you're really going to slow yourself down and you're going to burn through a lot of energy, such that the risk is you may not end up finishing your first draft. And it's just like two sides of your brain that are in conflict. So what I want you to do as you're going through your first draft is, as much as possible, embrace the sloppy first draft. Throw out all the inclinations, or put aside the inclinations to edit, and just write. And when I say write, I mean write ugly. Just get the ideas out. And the way your brain thinks is not going to be the most edited and polished version of the concept. So you might not even write in complete sentences. You may have terrible typos, forget grammar and punctuation, and that's all going to look like a mess. The idea is you want to get those ideas out on paper. And you want to do so as efficiently as possible. Get all the ideas out. Save the editing for your second, third, and subsequent drafts. Now, this is much easier said than done, because we are so used to editing while we write. Think back to when you draft an email. That habit's ingrained in us, and that's why I say using a computer, as efficient as they are, can sometimes also be an inhibitor, because those delete keys, the backspace keys, the automatic highlighting of errors, that's all efficiently designed into the computer, so it makes it harder to get into sloppy first draft mode. So how do you combat this? I think one way, if you're going to use your computer, is to try some exercises. And one of the things I do with my class is I give a writing prompt exercise. And one of the reasons why I do this is so that the class will build up the endurance, so that they can get into the flow of writing their book once the class concludes. The second reason is that it's to encourage the sloppy draft mentality, because it takes some getting used to, because you have to unlearn the habit of editing while you write, because it's been ingrained in us. And one of the things that I find is, these days, I try not to edit while I write, even with things like an email. I will try as much as possible to go through a drafting process, especially if it's an important email. I will write out the email, get the thoughts out, and then go back and rework it. Now, I don't always do that. If it's just a short email, one or two lines, and it's not that important, I'll edit while I write, just because it's more efficient. But if it's an important longer piece, I will go through the sloppy first draft and then edit it later. But as much as possible, try not to use your delete key or your backspace keys. If you make an error, even if it's a sloppy one, just keep going. Another reason why laptop keyboards are not the best for drafting, because sometimes those mushy keys are really make you more prone to making those typos. But I would say, as much as possible, try not to edit while you write. And for those of you who subscribe to the newsletter, I actually covered this in issue 5 about a month or so ago, where I talked about what I call the quirky way to write. And I talked about sloppy first drafts. There's even an example of one that I have from a writing prompt exercise I did a little while ago. And I also have something called writing sprints, which are basically 1 minute writing exercises that will help train you to be a little bit more sloppy in your first draft. So do check that out if you want examples for that. But right now, that's kind of the foundation point of getting through your first draft, is about getting the ideas out. And another reason why, and I'll kind of wrap it up here, that I don't want you to edit while you write your first draft is that you're just still trying to get the ideas out. And if you are editing, it makes it that much harder to tap into your creative side and make connections and draw conclusions, that you're spending that energy on cleaning it up, trying to make it presentable. And the problem with that is that by the time you get through your first draft, if you do, you've also locked yourself in. And when you work with an editor may want you to change things around, move things around, reword things, but and that makes it that much harder if your first draft is overly polished. So I would recommend save the polish for the second or third draft, and then you're going to work with an editor, and an editor may deconstruct the whole thing, and you may have to rework a lot of it. So just be prepared for that, and don't get so invested in your first draft, because your first draft is really about you getting the clay out and just shaping it, you know, into its basic form. You're not doing the fine detailing. That's what I consider editing, is the fine detailing and sculpting. All right, that's it for today. I hope you are having a great week. Have a great weekend. I'll be back next week. Do check out the newsletter, and the issue will be out tomorrow. Again, all the information is at bemovingforward.com. Have a great weekend.
For more information, head over to bemovingforward.com. The views expressed by any featured guests are not necessarily those of the host, the program, or affiliates. Moving Forward is produced by John Lim and bemovingforward.com. All rights reserved.